The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver, the voice of the people. News Talk 710.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
The voice of the people. This is the Peter Boyles Show.
I think there's about 300 years of radio working this morning. It is a Friday, May the 7th, 2021. We're sitting on the edge of the weekend. 82 will be the high today. Tomorrow, maybe not so great. 70 will be the high, but Sunday, 56 will be the high. 39 on Sunday night. Rain comes in. There'll be more snow up in the mountains. Kelly Michaels has been on the job like 325 years. Jeff, I don't know how many years you've been on the job. I quit counting. And the boss, Kelly Michaels, has the con this morning. So what do we got? Like, what year did you break into the business?
Oh, 68.
Wow. I was board opping for Marconi. let's see. Kelly, what year did you... Can you join in on this?
A little later than that. 80s. 83.
In the 80s. 83. Yeah. Michigan disc jockey, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you were on air in Cincinnati, living on the air?
I was on air in Colorado Springs.
Oh, in the Springs.
I was on air in Cincinnati, in Kansas City.
Living on the air in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a lot of years.
Thank you.
What have we learned? No, all of us. You know, I got my break as a writer for the traffic reporters at the AAA Auto Club. Danny Hopkins gave me a job, and I was, I don't know. So I don't know how many years this has all been together. So what have you learned?
What have I learned?
That's right. Next. What have you learned?
Oh, God. What a question.
Yeah, see? We're sitting here this morning looking. I'm all three of us, old men. Not well, Kelly's not an old guy, really.
No.
He started. How old were you when you got your first gig?
16.
See?
Whoa.
Charlie Martin's mom used to drive him. No, seriously. I mean, he was a jock on the weekends in Iowa, in Des Moines. I think that's where he met Hal. But his mother would drop him off at the station. He jocked.
Wow.
So you were how old?
I was in my 20s.
Okay, see? Well, it's a lot of years, guys.
My actual first on-air radio job was down in the Springs when I was stationed at Fort Carson.
Wow.
And I would army all day and then overnight jock.
Overnight?
Overnight, yeah. And so I would...
Did you ever overnight,
Kelly? Sleep when I could.
Yeah, well, sure. Did you ever overnight?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I did too.
My first gig was doing AAA Michigan road reports.
There it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had that in common.
Yeah.
I'm an auto club guy.
Yeah.
See, Danny Hopkins. Yeah, sure. Come on.
I used to do fishing reports.
No, I did.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Oh, I see that. I did the dog track.
What is a fishing report?
What is a fishing report?
You call around to different resorts on the lakes in the area. Not around here, but this was back in the mid-Midwest. And I'd have to
What's
call
biting?
Around every morning.
What's biting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where on the lake are they biting this morning kind of thing? And I would compile all these reports for the actual sports guy, fishing guy,
no.
who would do it on the air.
Didn't you just make it up? I mean,
No. I had to.
Who's going to know, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. I had to record sound. I mean.
Whoops, there goes the phone. All right. So wait a minute. So you did fishing reports?
I did fishing reports. Yeah, that was exciting.
Fishing reports.
But yeah, I learned all my interview skills talking with different
fishermen.
People about, yeah, what and what kind of fly are you
using? No, I was going to ask you, are they hitting on worms? I mean, where'd you get the worms? Huh? And you did, I didn't know you were AAA man. I'm a AAA man.
Well, you know, I didn't work for AAA, but we took the Michigan road reports, and that's what we did on the weekends for people traveling through the state. You know,
I did snow. I did ski reports before I even learned how to ski.
And did you really?
Oh, yeah. And I'd have to call up Ski Country USA.
Yeah, right.
And there would be, like, every ski area, and they'd report Aspen Valley reports in one of those computer things, like 18 inches of new, fresh powder. And I'd write all this down. And then that was part of travel and recreation reporting that I did. And that's where I met Bob Lee. But, I would do these. A whopping. I remember Wolf Creek Pass always had more snow than anybody. And a whopping, you know, whatever it was, 300 feet of whatever it was of snow in Wolf Creek. But
I also did the hog reports. At
Hog and
a
Farm?
Station.
Yeah, I worked with Evan Slack.
I'd have to go to, I went to a nearby slaughterhouse.
No, you didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to go down there and have them explain to me what all these things meant.
Bellies and...
burrows and gelts and all
bellies.
That, you know.
That's an art.
Just reading that
Thank
stuff
you.
And... and had no idea what it was. And they said, if you want to know what it is,
Come
you got to go over there and talk to the experts. So I did.
I worked with the legendary Evan Slack, farm and ranch reporter extraordinaire when KOA was the king of agriculture.
Yeah.
And higher and higher. And, you know, he was like, I loved Evan. And he did all those bushels of wheat and stuff that went over my head. But that was really an art form to do that.
I'll go smoke a cigarette while you're doing the report.
Oh, yeah, sure. Exactly. Well, we didn't even have to leave the studio to smoke a cigarette. The ashtrays would be all piled up. So that was your best one. You did fishing reports.
I did fishing reports.
I'm never going to let that go.
Yeah, it was. I was quite an angler.
Were they sponsored?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Probably.
Come on.
But
come on.
I want you to realize that this was not on air. This was part of my job, but I was calling and recording what they did, and then I would give them to the guy that actually did the on-air report.
Yeah, sure, of course.
So you weren't even the guy who did the report.
He was the guy behind the guy.
I was
the guy behind the guy. I did the dog.
I'm the one that had to clean up all the fish remains after the report was done. You know, it's like walking in a parade behind the elephants with a shovel.
Sure, you're that guy.
That was me.
Remember that? What? Get out of show business? that was that guy. I did the dog track, and then I later found out, although it was after my time, Rogan called the dogs.
Oh, no kidding.
And then when Rogan got to go do the horses, then Billy Thorpe went and did the dogs. Now, this is, you know, I'm... Wait, but I did the dog track. I didn't do the dog track. I'm the guy behind the guy.
Yeah, so Billy went to the dog long
Rogan
before.
Coming around me. But when Billy went to the dog tracks, because Rogan went to the horse track, and I would have the guy call, and I had the red line, you know, the hotline, and I'm working for Gus Merkus, and Ed Green's there, and one guy go, you ready? In the first race, you know, and I'm trying to make this thing record, and I couldn't do it, of course. But dogs had great names, you know, great name dogs and stuff. But it was like I was the guy behind the guy. My job was to play what that guy said.
Yeah.
Lots of times. that didn't happen.
Man.
But no, those are good gigs. Radio jobs.
Exciting.
So we got a lot of years here this morning. Kelly Michaels has the con. Randy's got the news. I'm Peter Boyles. Here we go. Here's the news. And Randy.
I'm not Randy.
Randy, I'm looking at my lineup sheet. Randy Corcoran's on the show. Chuck Bono was on the show. Lineup, here is Jeffrey with apologies.
All right. Well, five people in Mesa County, Colorado, reportedly contracted the COVID variant that was first identified in India, where it's already sickened more than 21 million people. Colorado health officials studying to see just how it's different from other variants. City and County of Denver adjusting their COVID mask requirements to more closely align with state standards. That means masks will not be required in some public indoor spaces where more than 10 people are gathered, as long as 80% have proof of vaccination. Denver officials laying out some new vaccination goals for the city. Those include having 70% of residents fully vaccinated by July 1st. That's so more local businesses can operate under fewer restrictions. Denver Public Schools are not planning to require COVID vaccinations for students and staff in the fall. As far as mitigation efforts, school officials say masking will be the last thing to go. There is a chance other precautions could be adjusted by August. And the former FDA chief for the Trump administration says the CDC should think about lifting indoor COVID mask mandates as more Americans get vaccinated. Dr. Scott Gottlieb said that would preserve the credibility of public health officials who may have to re-implement them in the winter. Well, this report being sponsored by Audible. Audible Plus is everything you want to hear. Listen all you want to thousands of select originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Sign up for a free Audible Plus trial at audible.com. State Representative Richard Holtorf has been reprimanded for his use of a racial term during a debate in the House. This followed a meeting with the House Speaker and several other lawmakers who were offended by that remark. Colorado Congresswoman Diana DeGette and Denver Mayor Michael Hancock have a plan to get more help for the city's homeless population. They hope to secure $2 million to buy the Stay Inn Hotel near I-70 in Peoria and then convert it into housing for those in need. Vice President Harris is going to be meeting virtually today with Mexico's president. They'll be discussing the surge of migrants at the southern border and just how Mexico can help deal with them. Harris is also planning a June trip to Central America to look for solutions to the root cause of the migration. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase says President Biden's tax hike plan is a little crazy. Jamie Dimon thinks replacing the Trump-era corporate tax cut with higher rates will just hurt the economy. And when it comes to that falling Chinese rocket, we're pretty much on our own. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said there are no plans to try and shoot it down, despite concerns that some parts may hit populated areas as early as this weekend. The White House says Florida's new voting law is built on a lie. Soon after Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signed the new law Thursday, the NAACP sued, claiming the law discriminates against many groups, including blacks and Latinos. New York Times is reporting the Federal Election Commission has officially dropped the investigation into whether Trump illegally made large payments to women during the 2016 election. One of those payments was allegedly to adult film actress Stormy Daniels to cover up an affair. Peloton is delaying the May 27th launch of its new cheaper treadmill after a recent recall. Peloton voluntarily recalled all of its Tread Plus treadmills after they were linked to dozens of injuries and one death. The Colorado Avalanche will be in L.A. tonight. They'll be taking on the Kings. Avs currently sit 4 points out of first place in their division with 5 games left in the regular season. And we were talking the other day about Gene Autry. Well, this relates to Gene Autry, sort of. The Los Angeles Angels,
yeah, sure, it's his team.
Who Autry owned, yeah, are parting ways with future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols.
Saw that.
They've dropped him from their 40-man roster, 41-year-old Pujols, in the final year of his 10-year contract.
Ended up getting a ton of dough, and that's it. Yeah, Gene actually owned the Angels.
Yeah,
he did a good job. Good morning, everyone, on a Friday. May the 7th, Kelly Michaels has the con, of course, Jeffrey and myself. 82 will be the high today, and tomorrow it drops down. 70 will be the high, and 50 tomorrow, and then 39 will be the low on Sunday, 56 on Sunday, and that's Mother's Day. So, and then comes back to work on Monday, 48 degrees, and the rain will continue. Springtime in the Rockies. We were goofing on radio before we started, and we got Chuck Bonnewall, Randy Corcoran in the studio, the return of Professor John Eastman. It's going to be a good show. What was the format of the first music you played? Radio stations, especially back then, were formatted for a type of music. In other words, you know, you didn't play polka music and then rock and roll the next morning. So, Kelly, what was the format of the first? What were the call letters?
Well, we played two kinds of music, country and Western, and that was my first radio gig.
And you were doing nights?
I was doing like weekend.
I was doing what they told me to
do. Yeah, weekend stuff, working in the newsroom, like that.
Yeah, see? Yeah. But the format was country and
Western.
But there was a difference, too. What was the format the first?
Easy listening.
Oh, Montavani plays the Beatles. Is that it?
We played a lot of Julie London.
Sure.
And, you know.
Sinatra
and all that.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it was like midnight till 2 in the morning.
What are you going to do?
This is music to sleep by.
Sure. Or?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or? The call letters.
I don't know. I don't remember.
He doesn't remember.
I don't remember.
But that was, you were called, that was called Easy, I think, well.
It was Easy Listening.
Rick Crandall's station was called Easy Listening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was Easy Listening. That was a format. Remember, it was called.
Oh, yeah, it was a format.
Sure,
it was a huge format.
Yeah. But, Kelly, what kinds of tunes was Easy Listening? It was Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, yeah.
Streisand.
Barbara Streisand. Oh, that I forgot. That's good.
Yeah.
Who else would have put in there? Vic Damone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was, covers of some early Beatles stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, but.
Did you have to cue the records and everything like we all did?
Well, of course, yeah.
Cart machines.
Elevator music.
M-O-R.
Good.
Yeah.
M-O-R.
Yeah.
That's middle of the
middle
road.
Middle of the road.
Yeah. Then the next format you worked at.
Let's see, that was probably, country.
Playing country.
Yeah.
What were you doing, Kel? What were you
doing? Rock and roll, baby.
See, there, that's when you hit, right?
Yeah.
And what was the, who were the tunes? What kind of tunes?
Zeppelin, Aerosmith, Stones.
Whoa.
See? Hard stuff, man. Hard stuff.
Yeah, sure. Hard rocking.
Yeah. Damn, well, I was at a country station that played real country music.
Oh, yeah. Gene?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then we also had an FM station that was the beginning of the country music that we hear everywhere today.
Yeah. That's when I hit it, right then.
And on the FM station, that was my primary station. So it was country rock. And our slogan was... our slogan
yes?
was... stick it in your ear. That was, yeah. Oh, KFDI FM, stick it in your ear.
What do you remember slogans? We were on the move. 16 AM KLAK, on the move. Who came up with on the move? But they did it like a cow mooing. M-O-O, you know, like... Maybe we did that one, on the move.
We were a rock and roll good time.
Oh, I like it. The best rock. And I knew Bill Saul, you know, really well. And the best rock, Bill Saul.
Yeah.
And they had that great. Wait, well, those are promo cutters, but you have to don't. Back in the day, they would send them to companies that would make them. They weren't done like you didn't do your own big voice drop.
Oh, sure. You send them out to a voice guy.
Yeah, the voice guy.
Charlie Van Dyke would do it.
Oh,
yeah.
He was a good guy.
Oh,
Handsome Roger Thompson has a studio down in Arizona. And every once in a while, you hear a station break, and there's Handsome Roger. Oh. You know, he's banging one out. And then the jingle guys.
Yeah, the jingle guys.
Man, I don't know. Do those guys even exist?
Yeah, the jingle companies are still kicking down in Dallas. Okay. Dallas is the worldwide headquarters of jingles. And Jam Jingles is still alive and well. They were one of the big ones in the 60s, 70s and 80s. But, I mean, jingles, radio was built on jingles.
Yeah, please.
Did you have a jingle? Did you have a Peter Boyle?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Your own signature
please,
jingle?
Yeah. No, well, when Bob and I were together, and it was the Lee and Boyle show, then there was always, but you, the first of three in a row, you know, kind of a thing. You play a tune, and then they hit the jingle package, play the tune. You know, by this time we're having a cigarette and a beer. and then we called that first Segway Serenade. You know, you don't have to do anything for, well, most records are, 3 minutes long? And so 3, 6, 9, with the stretch, 12 minutes, 11 minutes. you know, go have a cigarette.
Have two, man.
Have two cigarettes. Read the paper. You know, whatever you're going to do. But as long as you just banged them out. But remember, they tripped themselves. Remember those trip carts?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
That would end. This would end. That would end. And you didn't have to do anything.
They were sequential.
Boo. Ooh.
And that's why he's the boss.
That's why he is the boss. He remembers those words. Did you have your own singing, the little voice that sang your name?
I have it. Yeah, one time. Sure.
Is that so cool? First time you hear that.
I didn't. Never have one.
Aww. You never have one? We've got to make one for you.
No. I did have, at one station, oh, I shouldn't say.
Say it. Go ahead.
There were a bunch of kids from a local school that came in to tour the radio station. And so we fired up the tape machine and recorded them saying stuff.
Sure, of course.
And they did an intro for me, all these kids at once, saying, "Here's little Jeffy."
We got to do that one. We had the ones where, I don't know if you ever did this, Bob and I were always hired to MC because we had the Hot Country show. So they, right. You know, come and then... Then the promo, there was always women that did this for you. The promo woman, there was another name, but they would bring those little tape recorders and they go, "Hi, this is Hank Williams Jr. Whenever I'm in Denver, I listen to Leon." Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. Artist drops.
See, he knows the names. Yeah. I didn't know what they were called. But we had a bunch of those. I'm Charlie Daniels because we hung out with Charlie Daniels. I got some Charlie Daniels stories, but it's Charlie Daniels. And he was taking heat. And he actually is just a great guy. And he had done, and I love the song, I have it on my motorcycle. It's called "The South's Gonna Do It Again."
Oh, yeah.
And he talks about all the different bands. Well, the Klan had grabbed that that segue when he goes, "And the South's gonna do it again." And they were using it.
Mm.
And it really made him nuts. But he was doing, so he was the first guy that I met that they took him in a studio and he said, "This is Charlie Daniels," you know, he had that great voice.
Yeah.
And he said, "Whenever I'm in Denver," you know, and we had everybody doing those.
Yeah.
Artist drops, that's great. I didn't know that's what they were called. So do you get the little kids singing? Little Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah. I knew I shouldn't have said that.
No, those are great. I mean, those stories are, and I don't know, I think they probably still do them someplace. Don't you think? I would guess.
That was at the same station.
Yeah, Kelly's on the phone.
We did Sunday mornings. I'd have to go in and do Sunday mornings.
Sure.
And it was, you play the religious show.
Oh, sure.
You know? Yeah. And one morning, I got there, and the Church of Christ hour didn't show up. We did not have the tape.
The tape, yeah.
And the Church of Christ hour was like 30 minutes. But that's what you call it.
Go figure, man.
Sure,
anyway,
yeah. Who knew?
So I'm relatively new in this business, and I pull out these excellent religious records.
Hmm.
Tennessee Ernie Ford.
I love Tennessee.
Oh, man, you know, and I'm playing all this stuff and filling it for an hour, and I'm, you know, equating it with the Church of Christ hour, and man, did I catch a ration of negative comments from all of the Church of Christ people
because
who called in and said, "How dare you play a Baptist during the Church of Christ hour?"
See? I mean, you're, no matter what, and what are we? We're always going to make somebody mad, right?
Yeah.
Who do you think was the maddest ever at you? Kelly.
Oh, probably a sales manager
I
repeatedly just messed up spots for a client.
Sales guys were always mad. You know,
man. And he was right.
Oh, sure. But then the all-time great one, "Well, what's the appearance fee?" Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? We're on to this, you know. We're not getting out of the truck for nothing. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
That was great. I don't know if anybody... You know, I've kind of, we're working a building now that we don't have, like, when you worked at iHeart, there's, you know, the Willie B and all those guys are all there, and they're all still friends. You still talk to them occasionally, but I'm sure they're still doing that stuff. They have to.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not what it was, you know. And I don't even know how competitive, I mean, is the business all that competitive like it used to be?
I don't think it is.
I don't either. I mean, it would really be. Did you ever get into radio station stuff where you underwrote a concert or underwrote a show? You were the, you know, like
the
KLEK presents.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
That was great stuff.
Yeah, man. This is our our show. We own it, man.
We walk out on the stage, MC the act.
Yeah.
Me and Bob, man. We did Jerry Lee. We did all kinds of stuff.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was like
Jerry Lee. You've met some greats. You really have. I mean, you guys, the experiences that you guys have had over the years.
Yeah. We had Jerry Lee at the warehouse. Oh. And I'm a huge Jerry Lee knockdown fan. Jerry Lee's motorcycle. Harley Davidson gave Jerry Lee and Elvis, you know, the old 74s, you know. And Jerry Lee, his went on auction. It was at the Mecum auction. And he showed up for it.
Wow.
And he played the piano. And they sold his bike. And it was an old, you know, it was an electric light, I think. And it was his, the big buddy seat on it, you know, back chrome. Oh, it's a great bike. And he came out. He's got to be like 85, 86. And he sat down and hammered the piano.
Yeah.
We talked about this. There's a new, it's like an autobiography where he talks a little bit to this guy. And I got the book, and we can't get an interview with the guy. He's working on something else about Jerry Lee and Elvis. And Jimmy Swaggart and all of those guys. They were all tied in together. And Jerry Lee, Mickey Gilley, and Jimmy Swaggart are all first cousins.
Oh, what?
Wow. Yeah, from Faraday, Louisiana. Uh-huh. And they all have Lee in their name, and it was their granddad who was the head of the Klan. He was a Faraday guy. And Faraday, Louisiana, and they can all play. Mm. Jimmy Swaggart, I guess, can play his eyes out. And Mickey can play. And Jerry Lee can play. And I met Mickey Gilley.
Yeah.
He was great. He was just wonderful. And we tried to meet Jerry Lee, and they didn't want to let us into that little dressing room. I just wanted to say, man, you the man, you know. But he was cooked. But they were all three cousins from a place called Faraday, Louisiana.
Wow.
And they all go to stardom, all separate directions. Jimmy goes to religion, Mickey goes country, and Jerry Lee becomes the killer.
Yeah.
But no, we got to do great shows. David Allan Coe.
Oh gosh.
Oh man. That was like the, and I love David Allan Coe. We got to go to Boulder and MC David Allan Coe. Man, the old man, and it was like, there are so many stories about that act, what those guys did. I told you the story, and we got a break, start real radio, but I'm in Bike Week in Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
And I had a chopper, and I'm on my chopper, and if you get away from Daytona Beach, it turns into scrub pines, and, you know, if you've ever been down there, it's like Florida. So I'm banging along on my chopper. You know, it was an old hardtail, you know, the Springer front end. And remember those, they have those, they haul those trailers around that you can take letters and plug them in, you know, and it makes a sign. You can drag the sign behind the truck.
Right.
Come over the crest of the hill on the right-hand side, and it says, and they just really just dig into the dirt and make an arena. They, you know, that's for Bike Week. Or there's a sign that says, one night only. Rick Derringer and David Allan Coe. Oh, I was tempted. And I come up the crest of the hill, you know, and I'm shoveling the bike down a little bit, and I'm just looking at the sign. I'm going, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The show didn't start to like whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, because we got to know David Allan Coe. You know, I've never met Rick Derringer, but we got to know Rick, or got to know David. I said, nah, just be smart, go back to Daytona, get out of here. But that sign was, wow. So, I don't know, guys. It's a long way. We went a lot to talk about this morning. 303-696-1971. I think the Republican Party doesn't do anybody any favors. This guy yesterday gets reprimanded, but he gets reprimanded by the Democrats. And Chuck Bonneville and Randy are coming in. We're going to talk about unification in the Republican Party, and we must do this. So it is open lines. It's a Friday morning. Troops are here, May the 7th, 2021. 82 will be the high today. Great. I rode motorcycles yesterday, going to ride today, but man, Saturday, my grandson has a ball game, and Sunday, nobody's rolling out 56 degrees in rain. I don't know if that's going to happen. You ready? You ready? We're ready? All right. What do you always say? You ready, Roy? Remember? Can you do that voice?
No.
You can't do it. Remember Gabby always said, hey, Roy? Anyhow, We're here. It's Friday, 303-696-1971.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Peter Boyles, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Mother's Day weekend pending, 537, 23 before the hour, 82. The high today, 70 tomorrow, and 56 on Mother's Day. Sunday is Mother's Day. You need a gift for your wife or your mom. And this goes back to the hitman, Joe Williams. And normally you might consider restaurants or flowers, but like this is not a normal year. And so actually it's a very stressful year, especially for women in our lives. And many are home all day juggling times between jobs and kids. And make it a good one. Mother's Day, and you can do this even though now it's Friday, you're coming up on time. But some time for her, relax and rejuvenate. I would urge you, this is the smartest thing you could do this morning. 303-779-5002, 779-5002, BeauVisageSpa.com. Luxurious services, massages, facials, outstanding job, competitive prices. I'm just there. BeauVisage. Happy Mother's Day. Do it right. 303-779-5002, 779-5002. Online, BVSPA.com. We go to Don on one. You're on a radio show, man. Good morning, Friday.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you were talking about old radio shows, and one of my favorites, which was at a very young age, was Wolfman Jack.
It was the man.
And they had the Howl.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I'm not sure how often, but I remember my brother taught me about how to howl.
Howl like the wolf. Yeah.
Yeah. Howl like Wolfman.
Oh, sure. Clap for the Wolfman. Radio stories. My mentor was a guy named Bob Lee, who's no longer here, but Bob knew him. And his name, Wolfman Jack's name was Robert Smith, was Bob Smith. That was his real name. And I got to meet him because he was in town and Bob knew him. Actually, good guy. I mean, not a bad guy. He was a good guy.
Well, and the other great guy that I liked, it was Art Bell.
Sure.
You know, I remember listening to him in the middle of the night.
You bet.
And he just broke the mold on everything.
He did. And he came, I was working at K-How, and he was the all-night guy at K-How.
Yeah.
And he was out of Utah, or out of Nevada, pardon me.
Yeah. For Rump,
that's right. He was huge. I mean, he was over the moon. So he came to Denver. He was selling a book. And the radio station asked me to, they called front him off. And actually, we got to be friends. He would oftentimes come on the radio show at 5 o'clock in the morning when his show was over. We kicked our show, and he would cross over. We got to be friends. And so he did a book, and he was at Barnes & Noble on Colorado Boulevard, which is really part of Glendale. And they asked me to go over and be with him. And when I got there, the line was all the way down Colorado Boulevard, people wanting to meet him and get the book. He was extremely popular. So I ended up, the Glendale cops took me through the back of the bookstore where they, you know, the loading docks. And then he was really busy signing. And so we ended up standing outside in the back and with his wife and his son and had a great conversation. And then everybody, that whole bunch, everybody got in trouble. And then he went and lived in the PI. And I think that he passed away in the Philippines, or he passed away here. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he had some issue.
Big time. Yes, he did. Yeah, I know what happened.
The zone down there in Nevada.
Area 51. But that wasn't what he got in trouble over. He got in trouble over some other stuff. But long story short, there's another guy, George Norrie, who's tried to fill that spot, and I don't think he does it. I mean, he's a reasonable guy. Don't misunderstand me. But Art Bell was great.
Yeah.
He got it. I mean, he believed it. I mean, it's like they say in pro wrestling, you know, believe yourself, believe your story, believe your character. And he believed it. He's a really interesting character, Art Bell. He's a good radio guy, great radio guy.
Well, they all are, you know. I remember getting a handheld radio when I was like 10 years old, and it was an AM only, you know, and it changed my life.
Sure. You. I remember that great line, you. No, I was like, Radio was, radio was, maybe that's a better way to say it.
No, radio still is. You know, I mean, it's probably one of the best means of communication.
Absolutely. Still. I mean, it still is a skill and an art form and everything that goes with it. But as the song goes, there was a time. And disc jockeys are a thing of the past. And XM radio and all the, you know, all those new technologies. There's, you know, the old top 40 jocks are gone. AM radio, music radio is gone. Now AM radio is talk radio or sports talk or this kind of talk or whatever
well,
it is.
Well, now podcast.
Yeah. And podcasts have stepped in. I mean, the world has, Paul, the world has taken a couple of turns. And radio, the idea of what these guys do, like what Joe, I'm a big Joe Rogan fan. What Joe Rogan does is great. He does wonderful podcasting. And they paid him a lot of money. He just got a big deal to do it. The other stuff, I don't know yet.
Well, I'm still a fan. So
that's good, man. Thank you. Right. Yeah. I am, too. I have a love and a passion that you can't even explain to people sometimes, only because of the people that, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants, as someone once said. We really do.
Well, I'm in my 60s, so okay. I'm a fading
yeah. But, you know, in the business, there's a term called a monster. And a monster isn't a bad term. It's a good term.
Yeah.
And we lost the ultimate monster this year, which was Rush Limbaugh. He was the monster. And he passed. And but he was a radio guy. I wrote a column about it called Jeff Christie. And that, that was his on-air name. He jocked as Jeff Christie. And he did. He really he had a couple names. He had, come on. He used a knockoff name when he was a kid working. His dad partly owned a radio station, Rusty something, and then he used Jeff Christie, and then he became his real name. So, but
well, I always liked the fact that he would demean the people in Rio Linda.
Oh yeah, well that's where he made his bones. Yeah,
you know I don't understand why they
well, that was. But he made his bones there, so he could
oh, really?
He could pull those guys off. Hey, man, good call. Thank you, Paul.
All
thanks
right.
for being here. All right, 303-696-1971.
Now, back to Peter Boyles, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Mother's Denver's Day weekend. Here we go, May the 7th, 2021, 82. It's a beautiful day today. Tomorrow's iffy 70, but boy, Mother's Day. Rain and PM showers and 48 back to work on Monday. 303-696-1971. Chuck and Randy coming in. We're going to talk about how to unify the Republican Party. These last couple of days didn't do it any favors. The that charge term buckwheat. And the Republican Party stays silent through all of this. And Republican leadership doesn't say anything. And what happens, and I'm no fan of what happened, but they bring the guy in, they take him to this, they say, they take him to the woodshed, and he makes this remark. His name is Richard Holtorf, H-O-L-T-O-R-F, and he used that term. And now he is speaking, and he's talking openly. He said, where I'm from in eastern Colorado, as a country boy, I've had people call me that term many times. I don't buy that. Buckwheat. It has different connotations from where I'm from. Really. I guess I didn't have the insight to realize it could be received in such a negative way. You know, I guess they're out of it now, but did the Republican Party, we'll talk about this in open lines, the Republican Party doesn't say a word. And maybe that's the smart move. Maybe that's a very smart thing to do. Don't say anything, and maybe they, you know, the guy feels like he's out here on his own. But he gets taken to the woodshed by the Democrats. And he comes back with, as the Irish say, with his hat in his hand, and he makes some backdoor apology. Smart, stupid. The Republican Party pulls the Pontius Pilate and washes its hands. But I thought it was really interesting. Alec Garnett, who is the son of, remember, we've been through this before, but Democratic House Speaker Alec Garnett told a silent chamber, I'm reading this on Thursday, that he'd had a long conversation with Holtorf, and the lawmakers who were offended by the remarks. And he kind of cleans it up. He said, I'm thankful you agree to do your part to reset the decorum of this session. And we go from there. I don't know. This will be part of what we talk about with Chuck and Randy. Was that the smart thing to do? Which I'm sure now the story has gone to ground. It didn't get the national attention that we all thought it would. So maybe it just the sound of one hand clapping. What do we do with all of that? And it's Mother's Day, 303-696-1971. Friday morning, May the 7th. Hold on your hats. We're turning right around.